Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Action Network Podcast, named Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show by the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and the number one show for the invested sports fan.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Four!
You got real talent. Don't concentrate on golf.
What's up, everybody, and welcome once again to the Action Network Podcast, the Golf Edition. I'm Jason Sobel from Golf Bet. He's Peter Jennings from Fantasy Labs. And this week, if the last three felt like a little bit of an appetizer, this week feels like a big bite into the main course of the golf year. The Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, always a big event with no football going on this weekend. Petey, what's going on? How have you been? And how much are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, this is going to be a great golf tournament. I actually did catch the end of the American Express in between commercials of the Chiefs game. So that was a lot of fun watching football and catching the end. Cantlay with an unbelievable weekend, but Siwoo Kim with a nice victory. And we've talked a lot about him, how you want to buy Siwoo when he's longer odds because he can win at any time. When he starts getting to be the favorite, that's when I normally get off him with the variance in his game. But what a beautiful golf swing and a ball striking display that he put on last weekend.
Yeah, first of all, it might have been you, me, and a couple of degenerates listening to this pod who were the only people actually watching that final round up against the AFC Championship game. PGA Tour needs to do something about fixing the timing of some of these early year tournaments. But other than that, yeah, Siwoo Kim is a guy who's really impressed me. We've always known that he's got a high ceiling but a low floor over the past few years. He's a guy that can win at any given time, but also can shoot 78-78 and be slamming the trunk on a Friday afternoon. What he's shown us over the last 6 months or so is that he has raised that floor. He still has the high ceiling, still capable of winning, as we just saw this past weekend, but he has raised the floor. And I think that that makes him a lot more valuable when we start looking at him moving forward for, you know, even not just outrights, but top 10s, top 20s, DFS plays. I think Siwoo becomes a lot more valuable as an option now that he has raised that floor.
Yeah, I mean, his ball striking has been really good. I still think there's going to be a little volatility in his game, but he's certainly starting to play significantly better. And mentally, I think there's some big improvements. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and he's a fun player to root for. And, we have a bunch of really, really good players this week. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, let's move on to this week because last week was absolutely awful for me. I apologize to anyone who tried tailing my picks last week. Look, it'd been a lot of long shots over the past 10 years who had won the Amex. And so I tried picking some long shots, and when you try picking long shots and they don't come through, you look really bad. And so that's what I did last week. So looking to jump back on the horse. The great thing about golf is that we got a tournament every single week. And so if you don't come out on top, you don't come out on the plus side of things 1 week, well, a few days later, you're jumping back in and getting right back at it. So cannot wait for this one at Torrey Pines. We've got some weather coming through. I mean, the Torrey Pines area, La Jolla, is absolutely beautiful when the weather is nice. There's no place better when the weather is 78 with a nice little breeze coming through. It ain't going to be that this week. It's going to be low 60s with a little wind coming through, a lot of rain, especially early in the week, moving into Thursday and Friday. And so when you look at that weather, how does that impact some of your plays for this week, Peter?
Well, I think it means that you're going to have to value distance even more if it's going to be that cold and if the course gets wet. It's already a course that requires distance. You want the bombers here. And if the course is going to play damp and cold, which temperature has a big impact on the, you know, how far the ball travels. I think it just makes a bigger premium on distance. And then, you know, if we have rain and wind, there could be a weather edge too in DFS. So I'm obviously betting as well. So I'm looking at all those things, and I certainly hope there's significant weather, because that generally creates more edge for the sharper handicappers.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think that if you're picking guys this week who aren't at least above average as far as driving distance and as far as distance with their irons, which is sort of an underrated stat, because it's not a stat. We look at driving distance. We don't look at 6-iron different distance. We don't look at 9-iron different distance. And I think that those things can really help. Mark Leishman is a perfect example. The winner of this event last year, he's played well here in the past as well. His driving distance isn't fantastic, but you look at him, big, burly guy, and he hits his irons really long. And so I think that that's something we have to take into account, especially this week where, you know, okay, maybe, you know, driving distance is moderate when it's like one guy's hitting at 310 and another guy's hitting at 295 and one guy's considered long and the other guy's considered short. And I get it. It's a one club differential, but if you can hit a 6-iron 15 to 20 yards longer than some of your peers, I think that makes a huge difference. So let's get to the top of the board this week. And of course, John Rahm is the favorite. He's finished first, second, and fifth in three of his last four starts at this event itself. And so, of course, got his first PGA Tour victory at Torrey Pines. Rory McIlroy has played only the last 2 years, and all he's done is finish third and fifth. So, rightly at the top of the board, are you looking at either of those guys as viable outright picks? Of course, they can win this week, but are they viable for you taking them outright at their numbers?
Rory's really close. And you know how bullish I am on John Rahm. I think it's a little too short of a number, but we have a stacked field here, and Finau playing well last week. I think he's a fantastic fit here. Was hoping that he could get a win last week, but there's a lot of really good names. If I had to pick one, it'd be Rory. He did play really well last week. Thought he had a really good chance to win, but Tyrrell Hatton won overseas. So for me, I am looking, I guess, a little bit more at Rory, who I think should be the favorite over John Rahm, considering he's played more recently and his form from last week.
Yeah, I think Rahm has two things going against him. We talk about the course history being really good, but of course, just switched to Callaway clubs at the beginning of this year, which just a few weeks ago at Kapalua, we were talking about, maybe stay away from him for a little bit with switching manufacturers. And then the other part is that he was supposed to play last week at the Amex and withdrew due to what he said was a little tweak of his back when he was working in the gym the week before, and, you know, just more of a precautionary measure type of thing beforehand. But still, the fact that it was enough to keep him from playing last week should tell us something about going into this week. So let's get to the rest of the top tier. You mentioned Tony Finau's name. I mean, it feels like the same old story, Pete. Finau, 54-hole co-leader, has a chance to win. Doesn't play badly in the final round. Shoots 68, missed a couple of short putts, missed the green from 70 yards out, and all of a sudden finishes in fourth place. And so I know a lot of people are disappointed, discouraged. Finau doesn't seem like he's one of them. Finau seems like he is pretty optimistic moving forward, and he should be here. He has finished in the top 25 in all six of his starts at Torrey Pines. This is the best course fit for Tony Finau in my mind of the entire year. So I love Finau this week. Top 5, top 10, top 20 props. I will tell you, for those who are going to watch the Gimme on Wednesday evening, I will be very heavily invested in those Finau props. Some other guys, Patrick Reed, I don't mind. Xander Schauffele's got sort of a weird record at this being his hometown event. At some point, he's going to bust out here, though, because the course really does fit him pretty well. Harris English won at Kapalua. Brooks Koepka, who knows what's going on with him? It was just reported that he has moved away from swing coach Claude Harmon III. Getting down a little bit more, Hideki Matsuyama, there's my favorite outright pick. I think that if Hideki can putt just average, maybe a little bit above average, he has a really good chance of winning. That ball striking has been really solid. He putts better on Poana. Anybody else in this top tier that you're looking at, Pete, where you say, you know, that's my guy. That's where I'm putting a decent amount of my investment.
Yeah, I mean, I like Xander a lot. I think he's probably priced at kind of that 12-to-1 range, which, you know, basically everyone else I'm showing is negative value at the top. I think Rory is basically properly priced, and Xander's properly priced. Showing less value. I think the markets have actually done a really good job this week with how they're priced here on Tuesday morning. Not as much value as we normally see. So hoping the weather might shake some things out and give us some edges based on tee times. But yeah, I don't see much value. And I think the order is right. I mean, I think it should be, I think Rory and Rahm should be flipped, then Xander and then Finau. And that's a clear top four. And then you get into a range of a bunch of guys. I think Kepka's priced badly. I'd love to fade Kepka if I could, but yeah, Matsuyama, English, M. I like Adam Scott this week. We'll see how Jason Day looks. Scotty Scheffler had a frustrating miscut on the number. Cameron Smith, Victor Hovland. Getting a little farther down, someone that I'm actually pretty encouraged by is Ricky Fowler and his stats last week. Yeah. So I'm interested in Ricky. I mean, Matthew Wolf has got some really short odds, but this could be a good course for him. Gary Woodland came back and looked a little healthier. Charlie Hoffman, I certainly am interested in. So a lot of names kind of in that high mid tier where I see a little bit more value, but whew, it is tough to find guys that are value. I think they've done a really good job with the markets this week.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think one of the themes that we've seen over the first few weeks is that the guys at Sony who had played the week before at the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua tended to have an advantage. We saw Kevin Na as the winner that week. Kevin Na had played the week before, just got those competitive juices flowing just a little bit and parlayed that into a victory the next week. Last week at the Amex, the guys who had played already, I mean, some of the guys that I liked last week, Aaron Wise missed the cut. Doc Redman didn't play very well at all near the bottom of those who made the cut.
Doc Redman.
Hadn't played yet in 2021, and it seemed to favor the guys who at least had played one, if not both, of the Hawaii swing events. And so a few guys that ostensibly we should like this week. You mentioned Jason Day's name. He's a two-time champion here. Bubba Watson has a really nice record here. Dylan Fratelli, I think, is a really good course fit. None of those guys have played yet in 2021. Does that take you off of them just a little bit? Are you giving a little more value, a little more reason to take a guy who's already played at least once this year?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've talked about it in the podcast. I think, one indicator that has a ton of signal is guys having competitive rounds of golf. So I want guys who have played recently. I want guys who, for sure, at least have one event. And just looking through, the guys who have played the most are actually popping a little bit more for me. So I think that's a really good point. And we do have a very clear course fit here that's going to be dramatic, especially with the rain and the cooler conditions. In DFS, you might be able to get away with taking, some of these accuracy guys in hopes that you get them really low-owned. But it is interesting. I do think there's some value as we get farther down. My favorite pick, I think, farther down is Patrick Rogers, who I think has a great course fit here. You know, he's kind of in that, 200-to-1 range. I think he should be lower odds than that. I'm still interested in Wyndham Clark, who was disappointing, but I think he's interesting. I'm somewhat interested in Carlos Ortiz. I think he's another interesting one, but there's a lot of really good names kind of in this mid-tier, guys like Jason Kokrak, Luke Liss, Bubba Watson, who I know doesn't have the best history, but there's some interesting names.
He's pretty good.
He won. I thought he had bad history. I have him as a negative.
No. Solid history here. Yeah. Hasn't played. He took a bunch of years off, but history here.
Okay. He took a bunch of... So I'm just looking at my spreadsheet right now. So apologies for my history metric on him is actually not that great because he's probably the time taken off, but the fact that he won and he should be a good course fit. My course fit for him is solid. So
yeah,
there's a lot of names in this mid tier. Even guys we're talking about before, like Will Zalatoris. I'm interested to see how he plays. Emiliano Grillo was really playing well, was leading last week at times. So I see a ton of interesting names. Do you have a favorite kind of in this mid to bottom tier?
Yeah, I mean, it always depends where we kind of cut off the mid-tier and, the lines are blurred from mid-tier to bottom tier. Sort of mid-tier, I mean, some of the guys that are like Ryan Palmer, who was in a playoff year 3 years ago, then finished 13th, 21st the last 2 years. He's sort of a course fit kind of guy. When he gets a course that he likes, he tends to play well there every single year. Cameron Davis coming off a really good finish. I expect him to be really popular in DFS, but he's a guy that should continue playing well, hits it a long way. Gary Woodland, you mentioned, really like him. Taylor Gooch is a guy that's going to be another popular play this week, but
for good reason. Charlie Hoffman, I think a lot of people are going to jump off of because he withdrew in the third round last week with a back injury, but seems like he's fine. He's back home where he grew up playing golf. And so I think Charlie Hoffman could be a very strong play this week, especially if he's a little bit lower owned for DFS purposes. And we get down some names. I'll sort of break that off from mid-tier to lower tier. And then we get to Max Homa, who I expect to bounce back from a really disappointing final round. He was a 54-hole co-leader alongside Siwoo and Finau and shot 76 to finish T21. Can you imagine having a Max Homa top 20 ticket this past week?
Oh my gosh.
We're sitting there going into Sunday saying, all right, we're tied for the lead. I mean, this is, I'll cash this. I'll start spending the money now. And all of a sudden you do not cash that one. I mentioned Dylan Fratelli. Really good course fit, just worried a little bit that he hasn't played yet this year. Going down the list a little bit further, James Hahn has played really well lately. James Hahn has won at Riviera. James Hahn is a guy that every once in a while, every few years at a big course against a big field, James Hahn can step up and play some really good golf. So he's a guy that I'm targeting. John Huh. I mentioned last week that I thought John Huh was extremely overvalued in the marketplace. He finished in 21st place. He didn't play badly. He's got a nice track record at Torrey Pines. And so you look at John Huh, now I think he's valued right. I think he's priced right. And so I think that John Huh could be a pretty good player this week. Luke List, you usually like. And then you mentioned my guy as far as one major sort of long shot. If I could only take one guy and throw a dart, Wyndham Clark is going to do some damage over the next 4 to 6 weeks on the West Coast swing. And he's a guy that, you know, we can look at all the analytics, look at all the stats. I break it down to this. He hits the ball a long way and makes a lot of putts. At some point, everything in between those things is going to come together and he's going to start finding himself on leaderboards and maybe even win a tournament at some point. So hopefully this is the week for Wyndham Clark.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned, I love Wyndham Clark. Putts it so good, hits it so far. The in-between stuff is a little concerning, but if he could get that stuff really clicking, I think there's a tremendous upside in Wyndham Clark.
Hope you're enjoying this great Action Network podcast. I want to make sure you know about the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On has a daily podcast on your favorite team.
Welcome to you, Locked On 49ers.
You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Let's go!
Locked On podcasts are hosted by the local experts who know your team better than anyone and give you the inside scoop. So go to your podcast app and search Locked On, your favorite team. Subscribe to your Locked On podcast.
Let's do the five questions. Five questions under 5 minutes and get to our DFS lineup.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, well, we have a fun one I'm actually really excited about.
5 minutes, five questions you never asked.
I got to be honest with you. I get a little irritated when somebody calls me away from my golf.
This is Five Under with Jason Sobel and Peter Jennings.
Super Bowl edition. We have the Super Bowl coming. And my first question is, do you bet Super Bowl props? And have you looked at any Super Bowl props yet?
I will. I bet everything. You know that, Peter. I bet everything. I will bet everything. And I have not completely looked yet. I need to look at everything on Fantasy Labs. I need to look at all our Action Network stuff. I mean, come on. I can't just blindly jump into this a week and a half ahead of time. So I got to do my research. But yes, I will get into some. Do I have a good one right now? Let me pick out a good one. How about Tyreek Hill over on receiving yards? I think he's just going to torch the Buccaneers defense. How's that sound?
Okay, I like it. Did you play any showdown last year? And have you seen the contest for DraftKings and FanDuel? And now SuperDraft has some really big contests as well. So multiple chances to win $1 million in a DFS contest for the Super Bowl.
I'm sure I played showdown lineups for the Super Bowl last year. I guarantee I did. I don't remember what I played because I'm sure I didn't cash much on it. But yes, of course I will jump back in on those. Recurring theme. There's not much that I pass up. I'm sitting here looking at hockey lineups for tonight right now on both DraftKings and FanDuel. So you know me, I'm not bypassing anything if they're available.
All right, I love it. All right, enough with the advertisements for Fantasy Labs and Action Network and Action Labs and everything, which are going to be great. I'm really excited about all the opportunity in the Super Bowl. I think there's tremendous edges to be had in DFS and in betting props. But more fun questions. What's your favorite Super Bowl commercial ever?
I don't know. I'm thinking like some of those old Budweiser, like the Budweiser frogs were probably like, that was a Super Bowl commercial, wasn't it?
Of course. Yeah, Betty White with the Snickers in 2010 was one that I went back and watched. That's pretty fun. All right. Next question is Tom Brady the GOAT in your mind?
Oh, no doubt about it. And I say this as a New England Patriots fan who pretended for half the year that I'd never even heard of Tom Brady, and Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham were all superior quarterbacks to Brady, and they were going to lift the Patriots once again to the promised land. And yes, as a huge Brady fanboy for the past 20 years and someone who tried to largely ignore him for part of the year, I will absolutely admit that he is the GOAT, and it's probably not close, honestly.
All right, last question. The line's kind of teetering here. So, yeah, I'll give you multiple choice options. You can bet Kansas City -3.5 +100. Mm-hmm. You can bet Tampa Bay +3.5 -120-ish, looking at the action network odds right now. Or you can get closer. If it's three, then you're having to pay more juice on Kansas City. You're getting better numbers on Tampa Bay. Out of those four, and I guess you can, if you want to say money line too, I'm fine with that. So you got 3.5, three, or money line. What side are you taking right now, Jason? You have to make a bet right now. What are you taking?
Yeah, I'd probably buy the half point and take the Chiefs at -3. I don't like teasing through zero. Here's the problem with only having one game is that I can't tease with nine other things going on and try to find some value and move the lines a little bit. So, yeah, I think Chiefs -3 is the right number, but betting against Brady doesn't feel very good at home either.
Brady is at home, and I think the most underrated element, and trust me, I love Mahomes, but, man, Fisher going down with that Achilles injury is brutal, and the Chiefs were already thin at the offensive line. So my biggest concern if you're backing the Chiefs is the offensive line. If I'm backing Tampa Bay, betting against Mahomes feels really stupid as someone who bet on the Bills last week. So, and I've almost always bet on Kansas City, but it is what it is. All right, there's our five questions. Super Bowl edition, that was fun.
Want to be a DFS millionaire? You're just one lineup away.
We're going to go nose to nose with him, and you're going to play better than you ever dreamed of, because, goddammit, that's what I demand of you.
So let's get drafting.
All right, let's get to our ultimate DFS lineup that we do every week, and this one is going to be interesting because I think there are a lot of ways to go. If you want to try to get Rom and or Rory in this lineup, you got to go pretty deep to find some long shots in there, or you could play a little more balanced lineup. So why don't you kick things off, Peter, and see where are you going with your first pick here this week?
Okay, I think there's two guys that I really love from a value perspective at the top in DFS. So I'm going to spend money off the bat. I'm going to go with Rory, who I think, I mean, it was so disappointing to see how he played last year. And he didn't even play, like, you go through and you're like, man, Rory had such a disappointing season after the COVID break. He made every cut after the COVID stretch, just wasn't winning. And it was just little things that, like, his ball striking stats were still pretty elite, very elite, honestly, just didn't kind of put it together. And he talked about how the motivation and he really likes the crowd, which obviously is not going to be relevant this week. But man, his performance last week got me interested, and I feel like this 2021 calendar year is going to be extremely good for Rory McIlroy. So he should be a favorite in my mind, and you're getting him 300 cheaper than John Rahm. I also really like Xander at 10-4, who I think should be the third most expensive. So at the top of the board, I like those two for value, and maybe Finau is the contrarian pick. But, I'm going to start with Rory.
Oh, see, I think Finau is sort of a popular pick this week. I think Finau is a guy that's going to be on a lot of radar screens. I like him a lot.
He should be popular. The only reason I'm saying that, and I don't think he's going to be like under-owned, but like people are going to look at the odds and they're going to see Xander's 12-1 and Tony's 17-1 and Tony's 300 more. So more so in high stakes, I think Tony Finau might be a little bit sneaky, but not super sneaky.
I think course history throws a lot of people off the Xander scent this week. He's played five times at Torrey Pines, has a T25 and four missed cuts.
Sure.
He said he doesn't really understand it. I found a quote from him last year saying, I love it here. It's home. I live 20 minutes away. I think it's awesome. I just haven't played well here yet, but it shows how much I love this tournament in this course because I keep coming back every year. So let's make a little bit. I think this is going to be a very contrarian lineup to start. So I will throw Xander in there. I mentioned him in my column this week. I think he's a really nice OAD play if you're playing one and done pools, because not many, if anybody else in your pool is going to have Xander. So I think there's a lot of value there. So we've got Rory and Xander to start. And now we've only got 7150 per man left for the last four. So we've got to do some digging.
Okay, that's no problem. I am totally fine doing some digging. Let's throw out, this is a unique one, and I'm curious your opinion. We didn't talk about him at all, but big, beautiful Harry Higgs. I'm throwing him in the lineup at a fun price of 6,900. I feel like a lot of things work in there. Started to play pretty well down the stretch. There's some volatility here, but he's got firepower, so I'm fine with Harry Higgs.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Hits ball a long way, does have some firepower. I think that he's not a great putter, but putting is going to be neutralized. I think you look at the guys who don't ordinarily make a lot of putts, the Adam Scotts and the Hideki Matsuyamas, and this week sort of levels the playing field. And I think Harry Higgs you can throw in there as well, and it'll level the playing field for a guy like him. So I like that. I'm going to go to the guy that I mentioned before. I think Wyndham Clark is going to pop at some point very soon. I think it can be this week. Again, hits the ball a long way, and he does make putts. That's half the formula, if not more, right there for being a profitable PGA Tour professional. So Clark at 6,800, I think, is a nice play.
I love that. I think Higgs is the worst value. I think we're nailing like all my optimal plays here. I threw in Higgs for the fun of it, wanted to call him Big Beautiful. I'm going to throw in another guy who I love that I already mentioned. I love Clark. I'm going to give you some money to spend, too, relative to where we were. I'm going Patrick Rogers at 6,800, who is one of the best values for me in terms of outrights. And I just think he is way too cheap in the markets. This guy is the perfect type of golfer for this setup. And yeah, he missed the cut last week, shot 75 in round two. He played pretty good at the Mayakoba. And, you look at his results, they were a lot of missed cuts, but some good results. And he's got firepower, and he's just such a good athlete. I'm hoping we see more out of Patrick Rogers this year. 6,800. I'll gamble on that.
He's a guy that I've liked for a long time. I've gotten burned by last year. I got burned by Patrick Rogers an awful lot. High ceiling, low floor. In this event,
totally. He's
played five times, two top tens, three missed cuts. And so let's even that out and get a third top 10 this week. And hopefully we can be on the right side of that.
Higgs and Rogers making the cut. One of those guys is going to finish like top 10, one of them is going to miss the cut. So, sorry.
All right. Well, that's okay. I do love the contrarian nature of this lineup, though. So, if we see duplicated lineups, thanks for listening to the pod. We knew it was you. So, let's get to I've got 8,100 left. Will Zalatoris right at 8,100. Again, he's a guy that hasn't played yet this year. So, I'm trying to stay away from those guys. Same goes for Louis Oosthuizen, who look, Louis is one of these guys. I wrote him up as my favorite fade in my column just because I didn't have anyone else I hated out of that top tier. But Louis is a guy that you watch him play, you go, man, sweetest swing in the world, Louis. He's so good. Man, Louis got a major. He's finished runner-up in all four of them. He's got the grand slam of runner-ups. And then look at him. He's never won an event in the U.S. I just don't see how you could ever bet on Louis Oosthuizen. I don't use him very often in DFS. He's probably a top 50 player that I use less than just about anybody else out there. So moving further down, I don't mind Fowler. I really like Cameron Davis. Cameron Champ, I thought was going to have more people talking about him right now than are, but I'm going to move down just a little bit less, save us $300 on the back end. And Gary Woodland is a guy that has played really well here in the past, talked about being healthy after last week, and he's lost about 25 pounds. But should be more flexible, hitting that driver really well. So I think Gary Woodland is primed for a really nice year.
I think that's a really good call. He was battling a ton of injuries, and I think the little time off really helped him look good last week, just to me, from the eye test, and the stats were pretty decent. So I really like this lineup. I would go back and change Harry Higgs, because I think that's just with Higgs and Patrick Rogers together. Give me someone like James Hahn at 7,100. I think we're really cooking with gas.
Okay. All right. So we've got Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Gary Woodland, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Rogers, and Harry Higgs or James Hahn. Maybe both.
But let's put James Hahn in and then come back next week if Harry Higgs plays well and say we set the Vikings.
I will say that if I was consulted on that, I really like James Hahn this week.
Me too.
I like Hahn better than Higgs.
Given that I want to gamble on Patrick Rodgers, I think he has better. I like him more than I like Higgs, and it's a similar type of setup, like miscut or really good finish. So I like the hunt.
Some inside knowledge on Patrick Rodgers. Has moved to LA. I think has a young baby that's either due or just had a baby. So sometimes it's a good thing, but spoke with one player, said, look, living in LA and having a young kid and traveling from there is not an easy proposition. So you might want to hold off on Rodgers for a little bit. So
That's not in the model. So that's
a little inside info that might not be in the model. Some of us have models. Some of us actually talk to players. So I'm just saying.
Interesting.
That is our lineup, whether it's got Han, Higgs, Rodgers, whatever combo on the back end there. But I like that play, and I can't wait for this week, Peter. No football going on. It's going to be a lot of focus on Torrey Pines. I can't imagine this not being a big boy leaderboard. Maybe not just Rory, Rahm, Finau, Hideki, Xander, but I think some combination of, you know, five of those big name players in the top 10 going into Sunday's final round is going to be, I think, a pretty good bet. So I can't wait for this one. Petey, thanks for everything. Good luck this week. Good luck with all your Super Bowl plays.
Dude, never been busier, but it's fun to have all these opportunities and super fun to be on the podcast. And good luck to you too, Jason.
If you were selling a moment of our podcast, how much could you get for it?
Dude, they're freaking skyrocketing. These moments in time, man, we live for moments. That's all I'll say.
I did like, I'm not sure who it was. I think you retweeted it, but I did like it. Life is not about the destination. It's about buying all the little moments along the way.
Yeah.
I thought that was very,
that's my life right now.
Very, very well said. And that is your life. So thanks to everybody for listening to the Action Network podcast. Good luck with all of your bets for this week's Farmers Insurance Open. And here's hoping you hit the green.
We're finished talking.